I want to apologize at the beginning. I'm not sure whether my voice is going to hold out or not. I've been fighting a cold, and it loosens up around this time, so please bear with me. And I think that the panel has done a wonderful job, and my role seems to be to kind of put it together or sum it up and reflect on how we can sort of move that towards the national level. But all of the examples that we've been given, from the health impact assessment to Louise's working with APHA policy, is clearly moving APHA policies to the national level. Connor's work at the state level has importance for folks at the national level, and then the building a culture of health. So I'm not sure that there's a lot more that's very substantive that I can share with you, but I will do my best to bring you a message about the national level, and I have no relationships to disclose. My intent was to briefly look at some of the stages of nursing's political development and a framework for action in the context of healthcare reform and social determinants of health. And one of the things I wanted to point out was models of advocacy. Excuse me. That nurses have often been viewed as advocates of, as protector of rights. So we understand that, public health nurses, protecting legal rights of individuals and communities. Preserver of values, that's the case where we try to empower individuals or communities. So these are our advocacy actions. We're often, we advocate as defenders of personhood, as for respect and dignity of individuals. So there's that perspective. And ultimately, as champions of social justice. So thank you. Maybe that will help. Yeah. And in much of the literature that I looked at to pull this together, everyone referred to community health and public, then they used community health, but not as often public health, but public health nurses as the champions of social justice, fighting for the marginalized populations. So historically, health and social reform have been the impetus for a lot of political engagement through these policy advocacy actions. And I would say that we are in such a time today. But there's been a disconnect between our advocacy approach and our policy approach. Nurses have embraced advocacy, but are often less willing historically to embrace the policy piece. And political advocacy requires knowledge-based actions intended to improve the health of populations by influencing community, organization, state, or systems level decisions. And I think that the presenters today have all said that that evidence base, that knowledge base, is really key in whatever process you use, however you name it. Having that evidence base is critical. So this is a list of several policy initiatives that are going on currently. And Louise addressed the Patient Protection Affordable Care Act and the APA policy that was promoting a greater, better public health nursing workforce. Joy has talked about building a culture of health with APA, with RWJ. We know that APHA is working on a generation for public health, Generation Public Health. There's also something called the Public Good Project, which is kind of a combination of all of these projects. There's the NACNEP report on public health nurses, the key to our nation's health. I don't know how familiar you are with this, and I'll bring this up a little bit later in the presentation. And then ANA, addressing nurses advancing our profession to improve health for all, that's their mission. But they're also really focused on nurses focusing on themselves and being healthy themselves, and nursing health is what's going to contribute to the health of the nation and public health. And all of these initiatives are advocacy and policy initiatives that can begin at that individual and local community level, but grow to the systems, organization, and systems level. And ultimately, the American Academy of Nursing, their goal is to transform health policy and practice through nursing knowledge. And I'll give you a few examples of what we in the expert panel for public health, environmental and public health, are doing. So this is one model. I did a cursory look at the literature, and I'm not a teacher of public policy, but I loved reading about this literature and this work. And so Cohen's early work was really talking about how nursing had to go from this area of, you know, originally just getting buy-in of nurses to policy being our own self-interest in promoting nursing, and then to developing a degree or a modicum of political sophistication where we're really able to move issues forward, and finally leading the way. And I think that's where the American Academy of Nursing, Building a Culture of Health, the APHA, are all trying to get us as public health nurses to help lead the way, because we have the knowledge base to be able to do that. Christine Gebbe and Mary Wakefield wrote a paper back in 2000 where they did an assessment, a survey of nurses in looking at their policy and advocacy actions, and I thought it was really interesting. Doing policy was not, at the time, back in 2000, viewed by many of their participants as nursing practice. And I think doing policy today, whether it's at that individual advocacy level or up at the national level, is becoming a part of our practice. We have to see it as part of our practice. But there's a continuum. So the continuum might go from the sort of passion we have over prescription drug abuse. So some nurses are going to take on that issue, and that's their passion, and at the individual level. And then they're going to work with that up the chain as far as they can, you know, in their community and their state, and hopefully to the national level. And along the way, there's an evolution, and there are opportunities for nurses then to move to the systems, the organizational and systems level. There are things about nurses that make policy just are under our tent. I mean, it makes it something that we should be doing. We have people skills. We're great communicators. We need to communicate as we do to our patients, to policymakers. We juggle competing demands. We balance competing priorities. We know how to work with diverse groups. Partnerships was mentioned. And the process, whether it's the HIA process, it's a problem-solving process, and we know that. Our basic nursing process is a problem-solving process. We have clinical anecdotes that make these issues extremely vivid. So Connor's example of the Republican senator whose neighbor died because or had a severe consequence from that prescription drug use. These are things that we all have to sort of focus on and consider. This is a model that's more current that Diana Mason and her colleagues have put forward in terms of a framework for action, and many of you may be familiar with it. A challenge today is that nurses in policy roles may not necessarily identify themselves as nurses. And there's a reason for this. Some of them don't want sort of the paternalistic perspective. They don't want to sort of take this on. Others think they're going to be dismissed at the table if they identify themselves as nurses. So I think the Academy and others are really moving forward to try to change that. We have to sort of push that agenda forward and be nurses at the table. So what we heard Suhasmiller talk about at the Quad Council event with the registry of nurses on boards, we want to know what nurses are on what boards, and we want them to identify themselves as nurses. And all of this is moving national policy, systems and organizational and national policy forward. We are the most trusted profession. That's another hook that we have in this arena, because individuals will listen to us, the public will listen to us, so we can move and push models forward. You all know Lillian. Lillian's last name is hidden behind her picture. Sorry, when I was creating this slide, I didn't realize the wall was hidden behind the picture. But we have a history to build on, and I just wanted to bring forward leaders like Lillian and Mary Beard. And nursing is love in action, and there's no finer manifest of it than the care of the poor and the disabled in their homes. And that's how we started, and we are going to continue to sort of fight for those individuals. Times have changed, yet we have to be aware of reactive positions, political self-interest, and we have to evolve into this more intentional, more urgent, more proactive political advocacy and engagement. I wanted to put this slide up for those of you who have not seen the NACNEP report. This is the National Advisory Council of Nursing for Nursing Education and Practice. A report was published in 2015 by the NACNEP, and it was the 12th annual report to the Congress and to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. It was a report that was not widely disseminated. One of our community, Sue Swider, found it on the NACNEP website and then made us aware of it. And within that report are these recommendations: public health nurses, key to the nation's health. And there are these recommendations about the need for more resources and opportunities for training public health nurses, about having a summit to talk about how we can advance the field of public health nursing, about identifying those gaps in cost effectiveness, and about providing opportunities to advance public health practice and research. And this sounds very similar, Louise, to the work that you folks did in terms of the policy piece on public health nursing workforce. So I want you to know about this. I want you to just Google NACNEP and the public health nursing report, and we can take this report to our individual senators and congressmen and talk about it and try to get some money and funding behind this report to help us as we move into the future. We have an opportunity to drive health policy to promote the triple aim: population health, the better experience of care, and decrease per capita costs. So I hope you're all with me and that we'll take this journey together. Thanks.